to argue cases number 22-1345, China Custom Manufacturing Company against the United States. Mr. Tuttle.
Thank you, Your Honor.
When you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors. If it please the Court, my name is George Tuttle, and I'm here on behalf of China Customs Manufacturing, Inc. and Green Tech Engineering to contest a scope determination by the United States Department of Commerce and affirmed by the Court of International Trade in Slip Op 21-163, decided December 6, 2021, and its holding that CCM's Rocket 3 solar panel mounts are within the scope of an anti-dumping and countervailing duty orders on aluminum extrusions from China. CCM submits that this decision is arbitrary and capricious, not supported by substantial evidence, and is contrary to law. This court reviews Commerce's final determinations by reapplying the same standards used by the Court of International Trade, that is, whether Commerce's determination is supported by substantial evidence and is not otherwise in accordance with law. While the courts are required to grant deference to Commerce's interpretation of its orders, it cannot interpret an order to change the scope of the order, nor can it interpret an order in a manner that's contrary to its terms. Thus, the articles in question are mounting devices for solar panels, and they are used in a solar panel mounting system. We have two points that we'd like to make to the court today. CCM solar panel mounts consist of aluminum extrusion parts as well as non-aluminum extrusion parts, such as stainless steel nuts and bolts that pass through the aluminum extrusions. The purpose of the mounts are to clamp solar panels to a mounting rail that's attached to a roof. At the time of importation, the aluminum extrusion parts and the non-aluminum extrusion parts are fully assembled, and no further processing of the mount after importation is required in order for the mounts to perform their intended functions.
Your parts, they're sold with several other parts that all together make up the EcoFasten Rocket System 3.0. Is that right?
They can be purchased individually, but yes, Your Honor.
You can buy them off the shelf all by themselves? Your mounts?
You can purchase the mounts separately from any of the other components. That's correct.
If I go down to Walmart, I can buy your
I don't your think mounts. They are consumer-ready products, Your Honor. They're usually installed by contractors. So, yes, a contractor that has a supply or a distributor can go to that supplier or that distributor and purchase individual mounts, as well as the other components that are necessary for the mounting system.
What would be the components? You can purchase them separately from the solar panels, but what else? At least your brief leaves the impression that that's all you need, that you buy the mounts?
No, our briefs go into quite extensive detail regarding the assembly process for the mounting system, and these are addressed at various points in the appendix. For example, there's photos and drawings of the various different mounts and their components on appendix pages 258 to 324. But there's a rail that is attached to the house, the roof. And there's other components that are utilized, minor components, that then the mount is attached to the rail, and then it's clamped onto the solar panel. So there are other components that are used in the system. However, the mounts themselves, it's our contention, are finished merchandise within the meaning of that definition, within the meaning of the exclusion that's provided within the two orders.
So, in the end, you admit that your solar mounts are part of this larger mounting system called the EcoFasten Rocket 3.0 system that has a bunch of different components, including your solar mounts. But at the same time,
even though you recognize that they are a part of that system, you're also saying that the part itself is a finished product because there's no further assembly required to make the very mount that you're importing.
Yes, Your Honor, that's exactly the language of the finished merchandise exclusion.
We have a bit of a philosophical question here is, at what level do we consider something to be a finished product itself as opposed to being a component of some larger whole, and therefore the thing that we're looking at can't really be considered a finished merchandise itself because it's merely a piece of some larger thing, some larger downstream product.
I believe that the plain language used in the order regarding the finished merchandise exclusion relates to the imported product itself,
yes,
not that it is used with.
When we look at Shenyang 2015, those curtain wall units were, one could argue and imagine that they were finished by themselves, but at the same time, we said no, that curtain wall units are clearly just a part or a sub-assembly of a curtain wall. And so all these different units, once they're assembled together, the ultimate downstream product is the curtain wall. And so a curtain wall unit is merely a part, and therefore the curtain wall unit is within the scope of the order.
First, we believe that the curtain wall decisions in Shenyang are different. And that is because a curtain wall by itself is defined as the complete wall. And there's two Shenyang decisions. The first is the 2015 decision that you talk about, and the second is the 2019 decision. The 2019 decision focuses on the finished goods exclusion kit, which isn't an issue here. So when we focus on the Shenyang decision, the 2015 decision, you're right. It focuses on the curtain wall unit, but we think that this decision
didn't matter to our court that the curtain wall unit that was being imported was itself could be regarded as a finished item. The key part of the analysis was that the curtain wall unit is simply a portion, a part, a component of something bigger once it gets installed. And that bigger thing is the curtain wall. So by analogy, why wouldn't we also do what the CIT did here, which is to look at your component, your mount, solar panel mount, as being just a part of a larger assembly, i.e. the eco-fastened Rocket 3.0 solar mounting roof system.
I think there's a distinction between curtain walls. I think they're quite unique, and I think that came out in the decisions themselves, where we have individual mounts. You can buy any number of individual mounts. But I think that it goes back to looking at the example.
Do individual mounts have any use individually? I mean, I know I used that word a couple times, but do you understand what I'm getting at?
I think that's looking at the wrong part of the issue again, because the definition of a finished good is is defined explicitly within the scope of the orders. So I think we have to look at exactly what that merchandise is and ask ourselves, is it finished within the scope of that language used in the order? Just like it gives a list of exemplars, right? Remember the doors.
Wait a second. Hold on. I have a question. Okay. What do you contend fully and permanently assembled and complete means? Like, in your opinion, what does that mean?
It means that whatever I'm importing that is before me is fully assembled. It requires no additional products to be the imported merchandise. And it's ready for use at the time of importation. That's what I think it means. The plain language of that. And that's borne out by decisions, if we can say it's ready for use as is. And this was
right,
even...
But I don't think it's borne out by our decision in Shenyang 2015.
Well, I think that
I don't think we said anything like, well, we certainly didn't say the curtain wall unit is a finished good. You said
correct, it did not. It concluded
that part of a finished good. And we didn't say anything like a component of some larger assembly can be considered a finished good. We said, no, that part is a part, and so therefore it's included in the order. So you have to explain to me right now why we can get around Shenyang 2015. Because right now, assume for the moment, that I don't see how we can.
Well, factually, when I look at the description of a curtain wall, it is not defined by units, but it's defined by the entire length of the wall. It's no different than the examples provided in the order regarding finished merchandise, doors and complete windows. Those are imported, they're ready to use, but they also have to be installed in a house. They have to be installed in a home. And just like the door threshold units that were the subject of Columbia Products and Worldwide Doors that were part of the decisions by Judge Stansu recently in December, he raised the very question that we're talking about here. If those are sub-assemblies, as argued by the government, but they're also finished units because they are imported as is, ready to be used, then we have this interesting question about, does the sub-assembly rule supersede the finished good exclusion? What do we do when we have both? So I think that's this very similar type of issue that's presented before us today. But I do think that Shenyang 2015 is distinguishable from our mounts because of the very nature of a curtain wall is that it extends as long as in various different units depending on how long the wall is intended to be. A curtain wall is its entire...
That's the point. The point in Shenyang is trying to figure out, let's look at the imported item. It was a curtain wall unit. And let's figure out what it's intended for. And what it was intended for, as you just noted, was to be used with a combination of other curtain wall units to make a curtain wall. That was the intended use of the curtain wall unit, and that's why it could only be regarded as a part of a finished product, not the finished product itself. Same here with your mounts. What is the intended use of your mount? It is intended to be used with a whole bunch of other components to create the EcoFasten Rocket 3.0 mounting system, and all together in combination, they serve as a functional unit, and that's the intended use of your little component mount.
Just
and
like
so
a door.
For that reason, I don't see how we can think any differently about your little solar mounts compared to the curtain wall units in Shenyang 2015.
It's no different than a door or a window. Door or window, if imported, complete and fully functional, fully assembled, is a finished good, a finished merchandise, as explained by the plain language of the order in the examples that are given. But in and of themselves, they are nothing. They're not they can't function as intended. They have to be combined with something else. So I think we have to look at the plain language of the order and interpret it exactly as it reads. And if in fact there is some, the question that is really before the court is whether that sub-assembly language A was intended to apply to finished merchandise, which I don't think it originally was. That was something a later developed argument. And second, I think that it wasn't intended to supersede the finished merchandise finished merchandise exclusion. If a good is still finished merchandise, that is, if it's imported in its complete and final form, ready to be used as is, based on the language of the order, then the finished merchandise exclusion applies or supersedes the subassembly rule.
Okay, let's hear from the other side, and you'll have your rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Over 10 years of litigation establishes that the products at issue are sub-assemblies that cannot be excluded from the scope of the orders as finished merchandise.
Would you explain the policy, the philosophy? Here we have what you're calling a sub-assembly. It's complete in itself. If they just put a few screws in the package, you'd have a kit or some of the other exceptions that are provided. Why should there be this significant distinction that we're litigating?
Well, yes, Your Honor, it comes down to a functional analysis. And the product at issue...
I asked for the policy reason. Why is this curious line drawn? You put the screws in the package, then it's a complete package, it's a kit, it has one classification. If they're in a separate package, then it's a sub-assembly, and it has a different classification.
Well, first of all, Your Honor, in this case, it would take more than adding a couple screws.
It doesn't say. It says that these mounts are fitted for the solar panels. All you have to do is affix them in place.
There are actually many steps that are required for the installation and many other products, as shown at Appendix 300. You have to have a slide that is attached to the roof. It depends on the type of roof, but you might have to have something underneath the slide. You have to then tighten the mount onto the slide itself. You have to attach a skirt to the mount, which is the product at issue. You have to have a coupling that attaches different pieces of the skirt together.
This is the carpentry. This is the labor. This isn't something that's provided, that's imported. Is that correct?
The products that I just mentioned, Your Honor?
Any of the things that you're talking about are labor-intensive installation of solar panels. No one ever said that it wasn't sufficiently complex and demanding.
Of course, Your Honor. The scope of the orders, the plain language of the scope of the orders demonstrates that if you have a part whose sole function is to be incorporated into a broader system, here, a solar panel mounting system, that is within the scope of the orders. It is only once you have a permanently assembled and complete product that something is excluded from the scope of the orders. And that is how the orders are written. That is how Commerce interprets the orders, and that is how this court has instructed Commerce to interpret the orders.
But solar panels are excluded by statute. So it seems very curious that the mounts for the panels should have a different treatment.
Well, I think it's key to keep in mind that these mounts are one of many different parts that are required to form a solar panel mounting system. And there is no utility to these products until they are connected to multiple other products.
Exactly. Does that help you?
We think it does, because we think that there is a clear distinction in the scope of the orders between a subassembly who cannot function on its own. As this court said in the 2015 Shenyang decision, a subassembly has no consumptive value on its own. That product falls squarely within the scope of the orders, and multiple decisions of this court show that there is a clear delineation between that product, a subassembly, and a finished product, here, solar mounting system.
Counsel, could you engage with the finished merchandise exclusion and those examples? So opposing counsel was talking about some of the examples that were identified there, such as doors with glass or vinyl, and kind of distinguish those examples from what was covered in Shenyang 2015, kind of the curtain wall units. Just kind of give me, in your opinion, what's the distinction between those examples and how we treat the curtain wall units in Shenyang 2015?
Yes, Your Honor. Well, I don't want to speak too much about a hypothetical product because, of course, every scope ruling is a fact-based determination. But a window with glass is a finished product. It can function on its own. A consumer might go into a store and purchase that product in and of itself. No consumer would ever purchase a solar mount on its own without the four specific products that are part of the same system. It's not just that you can buy any slide or any coupling or any array skirt. You have to buy those specific products for this specific system before the solar mounts at issue can do anything. So,
but why would they buy a solar panel when they'd have to buy something on which to mount it?
Well, you do need a completed solar mounting system to mount a solar panel.
So why should the panels be excluded and the mounts included?
Well, the mounts are one part of the solar mounting system.
Exactly. Exactly, to understand why there's a different treatment. I'm trying to understand the reason for the different treatment. Looks to me as if it could just as well have been an oversight.
Are you talking about an oversight in drafting
in treating the solar panels and the solar mounts differently?
And are you referring to the fact that solar panels are within the language of the orders?
The solar panels are excluded. The mounts are included.
Well, if Commerce were to have solar mounts or solar panels in front of it, it would still have to go through the same analysis that it took in this case. It would look at the imported product, and it would determine, is it partially assembled merchandise or is it fully assembled and completed merchandise? So if a solar panel...
I don't know why you're saying that about solar panels. The order plainly says solar panels are excluded from the order. So why would we do a ground-up analysis on whether solar panels are finished merchandise or not?
We would still have to look at the product and understand if...
If it is a solar panel, then it's excluded by the plain language of this order. Is that not correct?
Once again, it's hard to hypothesize about a product that's not in front of us without knowing all the facts of
once
that.
Once we conclude that the thing in front of us is a solar panel, is it not true that that solar panel is excluded by the plain language of the order?
If it were a fully assembled and completed product,
yes.
then that product would be. Here, we do not have a fully assembled and completed solar mounting system. So the analysis is different than the hypothetical solar panel. But in any case, Commerce goes through the same process. It starts with the plain language of the order, and then it looks at the specific facts of the product in front of us, in front of Commerce. And there is a clear distinction that is set forth in, again, the 10 years of litigation from this court that says if it's partially assembled, it's excluded as subassemblies. If it's fully assembled and complete at the time of entry, then that product is finished merchandise, and a subassembly can never be excluded as finished merchandise.
We understand the technical, you know, analysis of the words of the order, but I don't think I heard you directly respond to what I think was one of Judge Newman's original questions, which is, what is the policy behind including subassemblies into the order when whatever is being imported, perhaps all that's needed is just one extra item, perhaps a bracket or something. So if these mounts that are being imported, if all that was needed was some bracket to attach to the imported solar mount to create an overall solar panel mounting system, what purpose are we serving by saying, oh, okay, well, if you only import the solar mount by itself, that's going to be included in the order. On the other hand, if you imported that same solar mount with that bracket together, you know, you threw them in a plastic bag together and say, here, this is what I'm importing now. All of a sudden, we say, oh, you know, now we're not so worried about whatever we're trying to protect with the domestic industry. And so now that bag with the solar mount and the bracket is excluded from the order. Do you understand the question?
I do, Your Honor, and I can't speak...
So what's the policy
purpose behind excluding the solar mount, or including the solar mount by itself, but excluding the solar mount with my hypothetical bracket.
Your Honor, in that case, I can't speak to what the policy is between those two very similar products. I can just speak to the plain language of the orders and note that there is this distinction drawn. And that goes back to the way the orders are drafted and the way this court has interpreted those orders. And there is a distinction between the two products that you just mentioned, and Commerce is bound by the plain language of the orders, and Commerce is bound by the decisions of this court. And as you noted, the key part of the 2015 Cheng Yang decision is that a curtain wall is a component of something bigger. And here too, the solar mounts are a component of something bigger. And this case is governed by Shen Yang. It's simply incorrect that that case was product specific.
Is a curtain wall a finished product?
A curtain wall?
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Even though that curtain wall is supposed to be part of something bigger, i.e. a building?
I will concede that drawing a distinction between a subassembly and a finished product is not something that's susceptible to a bright line rule, because a wall becomes part of a building becomes part of a city block.
So part of something bigger maybe isn't the right rule to think of, because you just said there shouldn't be a bright line rule.
It comes back to a functional analysis and whether something's sole purpose is to be incorporated into a downstream product, whether it has any consumptive value beyond being, in this case, for example, attached to four other specific components. The court doesn't need to decide what the bright line rule is in this case. In this case, the product at issue is clearly only intended for incorporation into a downstream product, and it falls within the scope of the orders.
So in your opinion, the solar mount example is actually an easier case than maybe the curtain wall unit example. Is that
yes,
what you're hearing?
Yes, Your Honor. In that case, the finished product was a curtain wall. That can be an entire side of a building. Here, the finished product is a solar mounting system. Not even the whole side of a building. You don't have any solar panel. You cannot mount anything. You cannot have any solar panel system without taking the product at issue and attaching it to multiple other components. So yes, we would agree that in this case, we are even further away from finished merchandise than we were in Shen Yang when we had pieces that interlocked together to potentially form the entire non-structural facade of an office building.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Shepard.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. DeFrancesco.
Thank you, Your Honor. Robert DeFrancesco on behalf of AEFTC Fair Trade Committee. I'd just like to hit a few points that Your Honors were raising earlier, going back to the policy issue Your Honor raised. What we just heard was that this mounting system, or the mount itself, is two pieces of extruded aluminum and nuts and bolts to hold it together. Very similar to what this court looked at in the appliance handle cases, the Meridian and the Whirlpool cases, where we had an appliance handle with a plastic end cap. There was no question that when the appliance handle came in with the plastic end cap but not attached to it, it was subject merchandise and it didn't qualify as a finished goods kit. Same would apply here. If you had the two pieces of extruded aluminum and the nuts and bolts, they were all in a package together, it'd be subject merchandise. Here, the two portions of the clamps have the nuts and bolts attached to it, so it's assembled. And this court has found that assemblies can be subject merchandise, just like the curtain wall units are assemblies that are subject merchandise. And the court asked Commerce in the Meridian and Whirlpool remands to go back and look at the degree to which the finished merchandise exemption applies, which is what they did, and they performed this fact-finding analysis to look at the degree to which these intermediate or unfinished products satisfy the subassembly language. To do what counsel is asking the court to do would read the subassembly language that's in the scope out of the scope entirely. It wouldn't exist, which is the problem we had in the door threshold cases that he was referring to. To Your Honor's question about including a bracket or a minor component, in my view, the policy decision here is the degree to which these other components are necessary to finish the product and make it more than a subassembly. It becomes the finished product itself. Throwing in a minor component like a bracket is a means of easily circumventing the order and undermining the entire order. And that's something that Commerce is doing in its intermediate product analysis. It's evaluating where that line is. And in this case, as Your Honor said, this line is pretty clear. This is just two pieces of extruded aluminum and some nuts and bolts. And they just happen to be attached together. It's an assembly, and it should be subject merchandise. Just quickly to Your Honor's other question. Yes, Your Honor.
Isn't the reason much simpler and much more obvious? In one case, there's a domestic industry, and in the other case, there isn't. Or in terms of the public policy for the solar panels. But for all these other areas, this is a domestic industry. There is a question of relative prices and protectionism, all of the underlying reasons for these tariffs.
Yes, Your Honor, you're absolutely right. When these scopes and these cases are constructed, what you're trying to do is cover the products that the domestic industry produces, and in this case, the domestic industry produces not just the basic aluminum extrusion, they fabricate these extrusions into these downstream subassemblies, in this case, the mounting clamp. In the appliance handle case, in that case, the U.S. aluminum extruders fabricated those appliance handles. And when initially Commerce found, first they were covered and then they were taken out by the lower court, that business went away. Those U.S. aluminum extruders, that business disappeared until the case was overturned and that product came back. So that's exactly what Commerce is trying to do here, is look at what the domestic industry is producing. It's not making solar panels. They don't make solar panels. They don't make the finished curtain wall. But they do make the parts that go into those units and the subassemblies, and they make those subassemblies, which is what's being covered here. A question that was asked in the earlier panel as it relates to, can you purchase these mounts off the shelf? And the answer that was given is nowhere in the record. There is no record evidence that these are sold off the shelf, number one. Number two, in their own submission, both to Commerce and to the lower court, they themselves describe these mounts as subassemblies and parts for the mounting system. And under that rubric, it is clear that this is subject merchandise because parts and subassemblies are covered. And with that, I see my time's expired.
One question, though.
Yes.
If we affirm on the merits, do we need to reach the motion to strike?
No, you can affirm on the merits without reaching the motion to strike. The motion to strike does highlight multiple irregularities and revisions to their brief that we think are inappropriate, but taking those aside, I think you can still rule on the merits without addressing the motion to strike. Is there any other questions?
Anything else for counsel? Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes,
a couple of things I wanted to address to the court. The first is the comment sold off the shelf. I think I tried to clarify that these are not something that you would go to Home Depot and purchase, but that a contractor could go to a distributor or an outlet to where they purchase their other components to buy the solar mounts. So I wanted to make that point. Second point that I wanted to make is the Meridian decision that was just referenced. And I think if we look at the history of the Meridian decision and Meridian 3 and Meridian 2, what really happened is that the Court of Appeals had vacated the decision of the Court of International Trade, but still remanded the decision back to Commerce to decide the question of whether the door handles themselves constituted finished merchandise. In Commerce's decision, they concluded that they'd never reached the issue of whether or not they constituted finished merchandise because at that point they raised the new issue of whether they were sub-assemblies or not. This is an issue that was recently introduced at that time frame through the Whirlpool case. So in the first few Meridian decisions, the sub-assembly issue was never raised. It was only after the Whirlpool case and before Meridian 3 that the sub-assembly issue was addressed. And so Commerce decided that the door handles were sub-assemblies and when they reached their second remand determination in the Meridian litigation. That determination was never reviewed by a court, either by the CIT or by this court. And that's an issue that's here today before this court. What happened when the CIT affirmed the Meridian remand is that it said the plaintiffs are not contesting this, therefore we are affirming the Meridian decision. But the question on the application of the subassembly rule to the Meridian decision was never validated or reviewed by the court. As a final comment, I wanted to address one of the points raised by Ms. Schickman, and that was a question of whether there was some consumptive value to the mounts as they are imported and ready for purchase. And before I get to that, I want to say this one thing. The expressed exclusion language is, this scope excludes finished merchandise containing aluminum extrusions as parts that are fully and permanently assembled and complete at the time of importation. That's the plain meaning of the language. That's what the order says. So if I have a piece, an article that is fully and permanently assembled and complete at the time of entry, that is finished merchandise, and that's what this short court should conclude. As to no utility to the mounts, there's no utility to a door, there's no utility to a window until it's installed in a house. The same thing for a solar panel. That solar panel can't do anything in and of itself. It still has to be connected to a roof. It still has to have what they call a solar inverter that converts the power from the solar cell to a power that can be used to the house. So a solar cell in and of itself won't have any consumptive value until it becomes some part of something bigger, a house, a roof, just like the solar mounts in this case can't become something until it's part of a solar. We concede that it has to be used as a part of a solar panel mounting system. But in and of itself, it is finished at the time it's imported. And I think that's the plain language of the order. And that's what the court needs to address. Thank you.
No questions?
No.
Thank you. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under submission.